The Scientific Research Film Service presents At the School of the Lascaux Painters. Forty 40,000 years ago, Cro-Magnon man, our ancestor, followed Neanderthal man. An abundant and varied animal life then thrived along the banks of the Weser River. In the high cliffs which dominate it, man had long since found secure shelters near his hunting grounds. Having mastered the most effective techniques, Cro-Magnon man was able to lead in this favored locality a relatively easy existence. As a result of the necessities of hunting, fishing, harvesting, he achieved seasonal rotation on a territory which was probably rather large, but sufficiently defined so that generation by generation, a culture could be born and develop. The Lascaux paintings, 15,000 years old, appear to be a particularly important testimonial of that culture, and beyond that, an artistic ensemble of universal value. Unfortunately, their conservation depends on maintaining a delicate climatic equilibrium and has become the object of daily surveillance. The cave can only be visited rarely. That is why a rigorously faithful reproduction of the cave and its paintings placed in the same site has been undertaken. Its realization is entrusted to a painter expert in mural art, but also to two sculptors who must devote themselves to reproducing the inner walls of the cave in the slightest details of relief, granulation, and color. The French Geographical Institute carried out the photogrammetric elevations. Following these elevations, a metal frame is set up, which supports on the outside a concrete shell, while inside, a first approximation of the inner wall is done, constructed 3 or 4 centimeters on this side of the actual relief. A first coat of a new special non-shrink cement is applied. Others follow, and the process goes thus by successive stages towards a more and more precise approach to the original. For this, it is necessary to make a great number of drawings, to more frequently have sketching sessions in the cave, to accumulate the measurements, which by triangulation make it possible, after the application of each coat of cement, to situate a painting with precision in relation to the whole. On the little-by-little reconstituted inner wall, imperfections appear clearly because of difficulties in placing the drawings. Contrary to conventional painting, canvas or fresco, painting in Lascaux is three-dimensional. It is possible to give an exact reproduction only by reconstituting the relief with extreme precision. When it is drawn on paper, one encounters inextricable difficulties. If, for example, a line seems to curve, it can as easily have been drawn straight and simply pass over a depression. Before being able to begin this work, it is necessary to properly conduct a long and detailed study of the whole. But during this work, a multitude of unpredictable difficulties arise and require constant coming and going between the cave and the worksite, a quantity of memory-helping sketches to compare the reproduction with its original and the original with the reproduction. From the outset, the sculptor is called upon. It is his job here to fill up a hollow, there to reinforce a ridge, elsewhere to reduce a very marked stress. He works in close contact with the painter. Then, finally, it is the drawing which authenticates the relief. The last layer is made of white cement. On this support, which is already nearly the final substance, the painter uses colors comparable to those used by the Paleolithic artists. Red and yellow iron oxides, black manganese bioxides. 300 meters from Lascaux, in the excavations of Rigourdon, red ochre and black manganese were found. The yellow ochre is in the Lascaux cave itself, at the bottom of the pit. When the main lines of the relief are established, the material of the rock itself must be recovered. If the painter wants exact quality of line, the granulation of the original wall must be obtained. As little by little the model on the wall is corrected, several sketches are superimposed exactly, alternating with light coats of white cement. One also reproduces the deep lines, which on the original were caused by the slow penetration of color into the rock. From now on, the corrections become lighter and lighter, the adjustments minute. The drawing is more easily made on a wall with more exact relief. In the last phase, the sculptors complete the reproduction of the white, granular, crystalline calcite retaining wall, which has served as support to the original. And finally, the painter remains alone. Like the Paleolithic artist, the painter must master a difficult surface, succeed in making the rough wall suitable for the demands of the drawing, and even use it to give more vigor to the lines, more life to the painting. The last details of the relief must still be perfected. The large grains of calcite are painstakingly positioned. Progressively, through long and minute studies, repeated rough sketches, attentive observation to each detail, the painter has assimilated his model to the point of being able to restore it as if it were his own. He has become used to this tormented art, where legs break on ridges, bellies go through depressions, where hollows and swells are balanced as in the most modern sculpture. But this acquired spontaneity is not sufficient. It is still necessary to make minute corrections in the thickness of the line or the grains of calcite which support it. Thank you. The techniques used here are not exactly those of the Lascaux artists, but they come very close. They evoke in every instance a knowledgeable, elaborate, and sensitive art. One can see that the drawing running over the rough wall is not a simple attempt at realistic reproduction, but rather the projection of a thought and of a particular aesthetic sense. The painters of Lascaux were true artists. In order to accomplish the works which thousands of years later enthused us, they spent long months perched on scaffolding of which the traces have been found. Their astonishing technique, which surprises the artist of today, was taught to them. They probably benefited by particular prestige and had a high rank among their contemporaries. Positioning of the paintings on the walls is not haphazard. The place of the drawing was carefully selected, each type depending on possibilities of the relief, such or such a space suiting a large cow, such other a horse. But throughout, the composition is not the result of a disorderly accumulation of paintings inspired by successive magical motivations. Some animals are deliberately brought together. The signs accompanying them emphasize precise meanings. The whole testifies to a much more ordered thought than it has been customary to believe. It is the reflection not only of magic practices, which must have existed in that epoch, but also of the development of true metaphysical thought.